Well, good afternoon. A fresh cupcake to the first person can tell me what that means. If you would, please turn to James, the first chapter. And we'll look at James 1, 22 through 24. It's a scripture that we're all very familiar with. In fact, we've probably heard it and read it quite a bit in the last month or so. And if my tablet will let me in. In James 1, actually in the book of James, we get a lot of very good first-hand knowledge on how to live the way. We've heard about it. Now we're going to be taught how to do it. In James 1, 22, there's a part in that scripture, especially in verse 22, it's kind of, you know, I wondered, and on into 23, how does a person look in the mirror and walk away and not know who they are? Now, unless you have whatever the name of the word is, I was going to look it up, but there is a condition that people cannot perceive their own face or anybody else's face for that matter. They do not translate in their brain. But if you don't have that, and that's like one out of 20 million people have the potential for that, how can you look in a mirror and not see and remember who you are? Well, it's called the Pecksniffian. That's how you say that. Pecksniffian quagmire. It is the hypocritical entanglement that hides truth. Let's take a look at James 1. We'll start reading in verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness, the ingrated word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But you, be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. King James doesn't exactly speak like we do. If you look at it, the NIV or any other new, there's some other things in there that are quite interesting. But we'll deal with what this Pecksniffian quagmire is, the ultimate foiler of the Pecksniffian quagmire that provides a solution. Now, a little bit of background. How many have ever heard of the word Pecksniffian? I'm talking to a virgin crowd. How many have you ever heard of the word Pecksniff? Have you ever looked at any of your colognes in a hotel room or whatever and seen these nice little colognes, got this fancy little lettering on it says Pecksniff? Next time you're in one, take a look. They are a large perfumery in England. Got in trouble a couple of years ago and bought themselves back up, and now they're still selling their stuff again. Pecksniff originates from Charles Dickens novel, the last one that he wrote. It's named after a guy by the name of Seth Pecksniff. The title of the book, Life and Adventures of Martin Chuzzlewit. Now, if you read this book, how many of you have ever read this book? Okay, again. Read it. It's an education and a half just to try to get through the 19th century English. But this is one of Dickens's best works when it comes to making up names and situations. Dickens deals with hypocrisy and unkindness, and all the things that were 19th century England at the time. But his main character that he really, everybody remembers, but it's not the protagonist. It's the one everybody remembers, though, is Seth Pecksniff. With a name like that, how could you not have problems in the world? But he is a person who goes around selling himself as the most benevolent creature to grace God's green earth. And in fact, he was a weasel, a nasty weasel. He was a lying weasel. He would literally did sell his own people. But his name has become synonymous. The Pecksniff is synonymous with deviant hypocrisy. In the book, it states, some people likened him to a direction post, which is always telling which way to go and never goes there. In other words, he was a bald-faced liar. Quagmire. Now we got Pecksniff. Quagmire. How many know what a quagmire is? How many have ever been in a quagmire? In fact, everybody should raise their hand. Because whether you've been stuck in mud up to your ears or not, you've been in a precarious situation. And 99.9999% of the time, it's of our own making. We stuck it there. A quagmire is, by all definition, a soft, mucky place to get stuck in or a very precarious predicament. Go anywhere, they said. In the fine print, getting back, that's your problem. Now, how many have driven a four-wheel drive vehicle? How many own a four-wheel drive vehicle? Do you understand what four-wheel drive is for? Four-wheel drive is developed so that you will drive on it, and you'll get stuck in the middle of nowhere, and you're going to pay AAA a humongous bill to get back. Or give your friends a chance to pull the entire undercarriage out of your vehicle. Now, what the sales brochures are always telling you is that you can travel with safety and confidence in your new 4x4 and will carry you through the roughest of trails. What you, the buyer, wants to believe, I can go anywhere with my four-wheel drive. Pop that thing into low four-wheel, I can grunt the mountain. The reality, though, is, as I said, it will get you stuck further and farther away from help. If you drive in two-wheel drive until you can't go any further and you use your four-wheel to back up and get out of there, then four-wheel drive is your friend. What do you think four-wheel drive is here? It's a Pecksniffian quagmire. It follows like a couple of my favorite Pecksniffian quagmires. Put Christ back in Christmas. And another one I saw here recently, the Flat Earth Society is a global organization. They are hypocritical entanglements that hide the truth. Think back on James 1:23, the man who looks in the mirror. It's a Pecksniffian entanglement, hiding the truth. Do not merely listen. This is the NIV. It's a little clearer. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. And Darius, when you get back to home office, would you please let Victor know that blue Bible comes in handy for a lot of things. You know, when you have a person up here that stands and says Strong's number 8388 and then stumbles all over themselves?
G 3884. Paralagidzamai.
There is no need for anyone ever to mispronounce a Greek word again. Paralagidzamai It means, that's what that word deceive or fooling yourself. That's what that is. And it means to deceive by false reasoning. And that's what hypocrisy is. It's false. But you believe it. That you're drinking your own Kool-Aid. And then you go tell somebody about it and you try to prove it. And you walk away and they're going like, dude, he must have never read The Emperor's New Clothes. Because that was stupid. But he goes away thinking, oh, it's all cool. I'm good. And that's a Pecksmithian quagmire. Hypocrisy. And that's what James is talking about here. When a man looks at his face, his own face in the mirror, walks away because he does not want to hear the truth. Paralogisme. It's that word. Matthew Henry's commentary. Well, if you've ever, last time you read it, remember, he talks about like old James. It's old King James. It's hard to get through. But he starts and he stops on this element on James 22. Bear or mere hearers are self-deceivers. And he ends with, self-deceit will be found to be the worst deceit of all. You have sold yourself the wrong ticket. And you're looking forward to the trip. And then you try to tell other people how great it's going to be. How do we overcome this? Well, we'll just continue down to the next verse. It's the ultimate Pecksniffian quagmire buster. That snatch-em strap is what that's called. That's what you usually use to tow, people tear the entire undercarriage out of their vehicle. And guys are laughing and having a good time doing this. Been there, done that. Doing it right, it works. Doing it wrong, it costs. But God offers us the absolute best quagmire buster. And that is in verse 25. As whatever looks, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of freedom, of liberty, and continues in it, a doer, not just a hearer, and is not a forgetful hearer, like, I didn't hear that, or it doesn't apply to what I want to do, but a doer of the work, applying God's word. This man, this woman, this person will be blessed in deeds. Blessed. Because you are no longer falling for the Pecksniffian quagmire. You've pulled yourself out. Well, you haven't pulled yourself out. God has. So, and even in Dickens' own words in this book, which was not his best financial work at all, but he felt it was his best work ever, he mentioned in the very write-up, the frontispiece, he said that with is his design of exhibiting of various aspects of the commonest of vices. Everybody in this book shares one thing, their vices. And in the end, he makes this statement. For as no man ever yet recognized an imitation of himself, no man will admit the correctness of a sketch in which his own character is delineated, however faithfully. You've got to want to see it. And the only way that happens is God's Spirit. So, how do we get out of the quagmire of the Pecksniffian problem? Very simple. Be a doer. Let's do it God's way. Avoid the Pecksniffian quagmire.